have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2. Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4. And Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station. One day. Everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no,
you
it make does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
We have the opportunity with this budget to make a fiscal impact on this community. But we're going to have the courage from this dais to make the cuts that we have to make cut. And so I'm not going, if we are going to surgically reduce and make cuts, let's do it. I'm willing to have that workshop and be here all day.
Okay, but what do you recommend we cut?
Hold on. When I finish talking, you can talk. I have the floor. And so whenever we want to put that on a community hall, we can do it. But to come in every meeting, somebody says that it's community impact of discretionary funds because they're going to write a article in the newspaper. I'm not interested in that, nor will I be bullied by that, because I can just tell you, the people that are being helped are people that are really concerned about this, are the people that are the silent majority. Those who are yelling and screaming and not saying it.
So at the Escambia County Commission budget hearing last Thursday, there was not a little bit of drama. There was a massive amount of drama for the whole 2 hours. And what you're talking about here, this is Lumen May, who tells Ashley, don't interrupt me. I'm talking right now. That will become important in a moment. And says, look, you all talk about these, you know, the community support funds, what used to be called discretionary money. You know, it's not charity. It's neighborhood services. It's human services. Steve Schoberger has called for cutting it out entirely. It is only about $250,000 out of a general fund that is over $200 million, and then the overall budget is like $800 million. So it is a small amount of money, but it's not an insignificant amount. And Ashley Hoffberger has said, you know, hey, let's make some cuts. You know, what do you want to cut? Because Lumen has basically said, look, if we're going to be serious about this, let's cut. Let's cut across the board. Meanwhile, Mike Kohler has raised the objection that Steve Schoberger is kind of, you know, contradicting his own views, asking for more staff. Steve says, no, staff's good. I'm taking care of people. We're doing a good thing. Just a little bit of backdrop. If you had not heard the 5 o'clock and the 6 o'clock handling of this, here we go. Let us continue with the episode.
Let's rewind back to February. And I wanted to bring someone in to help us go through this and identify some things that would help us to reduce the budget. To say a 2% cut across the board is ridiculous, and it's not good for our community.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion. That's
okay,
ridiculous.
You had
now.
Your opinion.
No, no, no,
you
no, no,
talked,
no, no.
And I
you said it's ridiculous.
You,
no,
and you asked me
you're,
to stop.
You're
and
ridiculous.
Now I'm talking, and it's my turn.
I don't care about
Thank
you. You're not. If you insinuate something to me, it's ridiculous of some of your recommendations. Be a real conservative and be a real leader, and let's cut the budget.
Great. I've got $1 million, and I have a.
You don't have enough guts to do it.
I have $1 million in cuts that I'm ready to list. Back in
start today.
I have. I've given you $300,000 so far because we're taking tax dollars and paying people's utility bills. I don't think that's fiscally conservative.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what. I'll take $22 million because you're putting it on a billboard to advertise a beach.
That's state mandated. So take that up with the state.
It's inherent and ethical mandated that you take care of the people in your community that need help.
Absolutely, and that is the difference between doing it as an individual and dictating it as the government. We are not a socialist society. I encourage every individual out there, go find these
charities. Well, get rid of Social Security that all your friends get.
We don't have the control to do that.
This is one of the most delicious and beautiful things I have ever seen, because Lumen who is a very smart guy, but when he gets in a corner in an argument, he talks fast and he comes up with crazy examples and he blows smoke to try to distract from the real issue. Well, why don't you cut Social Security? And she says, well, I mean, it's not within our power to do that. And what about the beach? Well, that's state-mandated money. That's TDT money. That doesn't have anything to do with property tax money, our general fund that we're talking about right here. And, you know, well, don't you have an obligation to help them? Yes, I absolutely do. But as a private individual, that is my obligation. It's just not my responsibility through the government, sir. And she's got good answers for every part of it. And on top of that, the hypocrisy of being upset when she interrupts him and doesn't even interrupt him, just asks him a question. He's not done talking. And then he talks over her how many times? Go, Ashley.
Back in February, I recommended bringing someone in to help us with this. And Commissioner Kohler, you said, I think we're all capable of going through this and finding cuts and finding things that we identify as waste. And the board agreed. So Commissioner Stroberger has brought $200,000 that he believes should be reallocated. I don't think we should beat him up about that. I brought $300,000. So now we're at $500,000 that we could reallocate and that we believe is a better spend for the community. And yes, I'm happy to lay out the other $500,000 when we get there. Additionally, I won't vote to support this budget if we have discretionary dollars in there.
Wow.
And Commissioner Stroberger, if you don't want it to pass, I believe you should hold out on that too, because it's going to take four of us to pass that.
Now, you might not have been listening last hour when I explained this, but under the new law, it takes four votes to pass any budget that goes for the millage, anything that goes above the rollback rate, which they will definitely have an above the rollback rate budget and millage. So she's saying, look, if you're against it and I'm against it, that's two. We have veto power over the budget. Y'all better figure out what you want to do about this, because you're not getting our two votes as long as Steve goes with her. And she did say, let's comb through this in the past. And she's tried to do this in advance and she's tried to make this all work. And now we're kind of not at crunch time yet. I mean, it's only July, but, you know, she's tried to make this happen. So we'll come back to this in a second. As I said, I always try to tell you that it's never the first pass. It's always the third or fourth where it builds over time. It's a crescendo, and we're almost at the crescendo. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Navarre Parkway at Navarre Beach Causeway. They're finally seeing the roadway is clear, so some good news there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to the Escambia County Commission, Mike Kohler.
Madam Chair, I mean, this is rich. You know, you order Barbie furniture and no one proves it but the county administrator, and then you want to come here and say
y'all
are wasting
y'all wanted to have some dust raveled up. Let's have it.
Barbie furniture?
We've had about travel. We can go into all of it. I have no problem. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to play butcher shop, we're going to play butcher shop. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to go everywhere. It's going to go to Pam's Cantina. It's going to go to travel. It's going to go to Steve's Aid. It's going to go to your furniture. So be careful what you ask for.
So we're back to that, and we pulled those receipts. I have spent less year-to-date than any other commissioner except for Commissioner Barry.
And you also have not completed your competencies to be a county commissioner at the state level, so that's kind of rich.
That is not correct.
Really? Tell me what you've done.
All right. We're getting nitpicky, and this is ridiculous. This is
but if you're going to bust someone on travel that actually is doing their competencies, let's be honest.
The only required state mandate is the ethics class, which I am completing, and it has to be completed by the end of this year. I chose to do it virtually because it was $79 through FSU versus taking me, myself, and my aide to South Florida. So, yeah, let's talk about travel. That'd be great.
See, I told you it was going to get good, and you're like, no, is it?
So the whole point of this is I think that if the board believes that a program or a service, any nonprofit deserves any taxpayer funding, that it should be considered openly, just like everything else we do in the during the budget process, the same scrutiny and all that other that not done by the whim of a commissioner. That's why I'm asking for this, and we're not voting on it.
Steve, I mean, Commissioner Stroberger, and candidly, it could go as far as I'm concerned. It's not at the whim. Those are the comments. It's submitted to the county administrator that's taken through a vetting process that they fill out an application, no different than the outside agencies that get funded. It goes to administration, it's passed by legal, it comes to the board, and it's voted upon.
And he's right about that. That's correct. But it is different if, you know, staff initiates it or if the county commissioners initiate it. So just, but there's truth on both sides on this particular one.
And you know what? It was voted upon for 14 years, and I'm not going to get in it until somebody decided they didn't like it, and it's political. And this is I know people got elections. You know, this is nothing but a political campaign today on this budget, because this budget is just informative. We're not even voting on the budget. This really should be an informational setting, and now we're entering into a debate, which is way off base for how you should be going to the budget. We should be receiving information today, going back, digest that information, and giving recommendations to the county administrator to come back to a budget that all of us can agree to.
I mean, it seems to me like various commissioners are bringing their proposals. I don't know what you're objecting to. If it's a discussion about the budget and this is the first step, this is when you do it. I don't know when else you would do it.
Which I think we're all giving our input. And let's rewind back to last September when I wanted to change things at the last budget meeting, and I was told that it was too late to do that. And that I was told the better time to have that would have been months ago when we had the budget workshop.
Right. Last year she did this in September and they said come in July. So now she's coming in July and you're like, wow, we're supposed to wait until the other one. You cannot have this both ways. So they moved on a little bit after this to talking about what are called outside agencies. That's organizations that are private, typically nonprofits, that do work in the community that they support either partially or wholly or whatever, and do various things. And Ashley's talking about cutting some of those too, or at least restricting some of those.
I do have a few questions. I noticed that we are contributing to charities, that there are multiple of those charities in our community, and a lot of times the churches step up to fill this role. Again, with property tax reform and us being asked to reduce the budget, I am not a huge fan of giving to the charities that other charities have the ability to also perform that.
Yeah, if we're facing the property tax possibility, but also just trying to show that we're doing the right thing, don't give to charities that other charities, you know, don't give to some and not others. And if there are multiple doing it, we'll let them do it. There's no need for us, right? We should only be here for the unique ones that are doing special functions that they won't be able to do it if we don't help them.
We have charities that are listed on here that they perform a unique service that I think that they are the only ones in our community that can perform. For example, Community Health of Northwest Florida, they're the only ones that really perform that service. I think it's imperative that we continue to fund them. Lakeview Center, they're the only ones that perform that service. I think it's imperative that we continue to fund them as well.
So others, however, are redundant because there are many such providers in the community. And then she starts to name names because they asked her, you know, name some names. But, you know, she's cautious about this. She doesn't want to call anybody out exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sure which ones you're referring to.
So, for example, eComfort and Pensacola Caring Hearts, those are two charities that most of the churches in our community meet those needs. I have a question about Gulf Coast Veterans Advocacy Council. I know that we have two in-house people that do veterans affairs, and I'm not sure what Gulf Coast Veterans Advocacy does that our in-house people don't do. We have two people who I've heard amazing things about within veteran affairs that we pay $64,000 apiece to that are doing veteran outreach. I am not a veteran, so if I am missing something, I just need to know what Gulf Coast Veteran Advocacy does that we're not doing in-house with the two employees that we have.
Well, I can't disagree with that. I don't know what they do either. I'd like to know.
Madam Chair, what did they tell you when you asked them that?
What did they tell you when you asked them? Now, Stephen Berry, who has kept his mouth mostly shut through this entire conversation and generally does not say a lot, thinks he's got a got-you sort of. You know, what did they say when you called them about what they do?
Madam Chair, what did they tell you when you asked them that?
I didn't put them on the... I haven't reached out. I looked at their website, okay. And I was still very unclear.
Okay.
So you don't talk about them, but no, you didn't invite them.
I can talk about it because I know. Because when I first
no, got... No, Commissioner. Oh. You're going to... And those are a very reputable organization. You didn't invite them. How do you know that
We did invite them. Are they here?
You just said you didn't invite them. Commissioner Barry just actually, what do you know about them? They filled out an application. So read the application, then you'll know what they do.
I did read the application, and I'm still unclear on what they do that we don't do in-house. I looked at their website, and I am unclear on what they do. And if I am unclear, I don't know how people in the community who might need whatever services that they provide would be clear on what they do. So I'm asking, what am I missing?
Okay, this is a little bit of a side note, but the richness of Lumen challenging somebody else for not reading the backup, oh my God, for the person who almost never has read the backup, he shows up the least... I take no pleasure in having to say this, but if you ask anybody who watches these meetings, Lumen is consistently not prepared. He does not read the backup, and he always asks questions that are in the backup and you could know by reading the backup. So I'm... All right. Anyway, moving on.
I think you should have him come here and talk to us and tell us, because I think there's a number behind that that could probably tell you it's a lot more than what we're paying them.
We did invite them, correct?
Well, you know, I'm going to advocate for them. They do stand downs in partnership with the county. That's worth way more than $5,000. They do a parade that the barricades and law enforcement cost more than the $5,000 they do. And for us, again, to do this grandstanding, political grandstanding, one, looking at, you know, someone who's feeding people, but a veterans organization who people have served and given their life, stood in harm's way for our freedom, to get $5,000, and we would sit here and have this discussion, but then we will have a party for $250,000 for people to get drunk, but then we say we won't take a parade of veterans for $5,000. That is ludicrous. I mean, so just put it on the agenda and vote for it. $5,000 for someone who are honoring those who have lost their lives and served in our country to do a veterans parade, who does a stand down that drive people to Mississippi all the time, and they do a great work in advocating for our veterans for the tune of $5,000, which is, there's more than $5,000 that has been wasted in this room today, versus we could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a party and a celebration. Sickening.
That's Mardi Gras, by the way, is talking about. One last thing before we get to traffic, just because it finishes up this section of this week's series.
Well, I think she's just asking. She's just asking.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just trying to clarify what I know.
Grandstanding on $5,000. That's what she's doing.
Well, I don't mind talking about this stuff, but I do. I think you have a good point. I'm kind of interested to hear. Do you want to cut the $250,000 for Mardi Gras? What are your other ones?
Let's cut them all. If that's what the guts that we got to do, just let's cut them all. You know, I'm raising my hand. Let's see who else has enough guts to cut them all. Cut them all.
I would have no interest in cutting the Northwest Ford Fence Coalition after us getting $15 million last year. That would be one of the dumbest things we could do. But, you know, okay.
Oh, my God, these texts I'm getting in on this, too. We'll get to that in a second if we have a chance. PJ has traffic on the fives. By the way, that is the end of this segment. But next hour at 8 o'clock, we'll finish it up. And somebody texted me, oh, my God, you're not Netflixing me, right? You're not going to release this gradually. You're going to finish it today, right? Yeah. It'll be okay. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working the vehicle crash with injuries. Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. Roadway's finally clear. Front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
It's okay to be angry. Godly parents should be lovingly angry with their children when they make sinful choices. Christian citizens should be righteously indignant over the rapidly increasing carnality of our country. Individuals should be personally angry when we do things that we know we shouldn't. Anger is often a right and God-honoring response, but anger can quickly accelerate into sin and into opportunities for the devil. Ephesians 4 instructs us to be angry, but sin not, neither give place or opportunity to the devil. Anger can easily become unrighteous and self-glorifying. Beware of sinful anger, because that's where the devil can get a foothold and ruin your marriage, destroy your relationships with your children, and wreak relational havoc of various types. So as much as possible, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit PennAir.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And welcome to Whose Line Is It Anyway, the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Oh my God, the text that I'm getting from folks about this whole conversation, the Escambia County Commission. A vet says, wow, Commissioner May sounds like a petulant child. If his argument is that a vet group only gets 5K, then make the max 5K. Go, Ashley, make the cuts. Somebody else says May has a real problem with women in authority. Somebody says, what do they think this is, the 1950s when a woman should stay in the home? Other less kind comments are coming in about some of the commissioners. Very interesting. Somebody says, best way to get not reelected is to cut Mardi Gras. All right, David Wayne has a quick headline for us. David?
Well, President Trump is meeting with two U.S. allies today that are in the U.S. for Lindsey Graham's funeral. He'll be meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and Volodymyr Zelensky in Washington.
Thank you so much, David. And yes, I will be finishing up at 8 o'clock. Some serious, serious conversation still to come.
I'm CJ Papa. Flag-draped casket will carry the remains of Lindsey Graham to the Capitol one final time.
They will honor him with a ceremony in the rotunda. Graham is neither lying in state or honor in the rotunda. His family preferred a private service. This is the first time Congress has honored someone in the rotunda without lying in state or honor.
Fox's Chad Pergram at the Capitol begins at 10 a.m. Eastern. President Trump, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Ukraine's leader Vladimir Zelensky all attending Graham's funeral later this afternoon. He died earlier this month at the age of 71. Now, the president is also meeting separately at the White House today with both of those leaders. Gas down a penny overnight. For a gallon of regular $4.10, that from AAA. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 82 degrees. We've got mostly cloudy skies this morning, shaping up to be a very warm day already. We've got that heat index getting close to the triple digits. We'll be watching that temperature here throughout the day. Families in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties can soon apply for free or reduced price school meals for the upcoming year. Escambia County's application portal is opening tomorrow with applications required at select schools like Tate or West Florida High. Many other Escambia schools do remain part of a program that gives every student free meals automatically with no application needed. Santa Rosa County's portal for that opens on Friday, July 31st. Families in both counties can apply online at myschoolapps.com, and you don't need to reapply if you've already been notified that you qualify. A slow-speed chase through a Walmart parking lot ended in drug trafficking charges for a cantonment man, 55-year-old Charlie Clifford Davis. Allegedly led deputies on a pursuit after erratic driving on West 9 Mile Road, tossing drugs from his truck along the way. Escambia deputies recovered nearly 22 grams of methamphetamine and marijuana scattered across the parking lot and the truck interior. Davis faces trafficking and evidence tampering charges. Records show his license has been revoked since 1994, with 10 prior suspended license convictions as well. The Ferry Pass Community Center was the host for a local option sales tax open house yesterday. And Escambia County Commissioners and the public safety director were on hand for that.
It's been good. It's good educating the public on what the LOST is, local option sales tax, and what it goes for. As for the various items, apparatus that we have in public safety, from the beaches to the fire department to EMS, and that critical equipment to come out and make our public safe.
That is Eric Gilmore, public safety director there. And he says, really, the LOST dollars cover a lot more than people might realize. He estimates that more than 90% of the county's fire trucks and ambulances have been paid for with LOST dollars. Now, Tropical Storm Bertha stirred up higher bacteria levels at several area beaches, prompting health advisories at spots like Park West, Baby Beach, Quiet Water Beach. Escambia County officials say retesting has already shown most of those locations are back to acceptable levels, although Park West is reportedly, at last word, still elevated. County officials say the improvements are tied to ECUA's septic-to-sewer conversions, which limits sewage overflow during storms. Bacteria levels typically drop within a few days once the weather calms down. A fourth suspect has now been arrested in an April shooting at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments. 19-year-old Isaiah Lauderdale has been charged with attempted homicide. He's being held in the jail without bond. Deputies had already arrested three others in that case. The shooting left two people injured. Deputies said as many as six people may have been involved. It's 7:35 at News Radio, and PJ has our traffic on the fives.
Thank you, David. Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the roadway is finally clear there. Also have a traffic light out, Softly Field Road at Mobile Highway, so just use caution in that area. The front gate of NS Pensacola backed up to Bayou Grande. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We will have just a small chance of rain this afternoon, 20% overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies and hot weather. Temperatures warming up into the upper 90s, near 100 for your actual temperatures, with heat index values up to 108 to 113. Heat advisories as well as an extreme heat warning is in effect on the coastline. Going overnight tonight, temperatures will drop near 81. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, another hot day back in the mid to upper 90s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and it's 84 degrees right now, already shaping up to be a very hot day for us. Cloudy skies, that heat index at 98 degrees already this morning. Our next news, that's 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil prices are lower this morning by at least 1% after a pause in fighting between the U.S. and Iran held, raising hopes for a de-escalation in the Middle East conflict that has upended energy supplies. West Texas Intermediate up to $81 a barrel, Brent at $87. June's Federal Open Market Committee meeting ended with a much shorter statement from the Federal Reserve, with Chairman Kevin Warsh not giving a forecast on the outlook for rates. FedWatch predicts that the odds of a rate hike have increased to around 38%. That's up from 16% last week. Similarly, another Kalshi contract asking when the next Fed hike will be shows a 68% chance of one taking place this year. Johnson & Johnson said it will pay an estimated $5.5 billion to resolve tens of thousands of lawsuits alleging its baby powder and other talc products caused ovarian cancer. J&J said the settlement covers about 76,000 claims. Futures are mixed as strong earnings bolster the market. Dow futures are up by more than 300 points. That's your money now.
MonsterCon 2026 is coming to downtown Pensacola, November 12th and 13th at the Sanger Theater. This year's theme is Invest. Invest in yourself, your business, and your community. Experience inspiring keynote speakers, practical breakout sessions, and valuable networking designed to help you grow. Register by July 31st and lock in the special early bird rate of just $250, the lowest price of the year. Visit studerei.org today and follow MonsterCon on Facebook. MonsterCon 2026. Invest in people, invest in business, invest in community.
Here's the tale of the Daily Med Fill. Same old pharmacy, same old bill, but those prices kept rising higher still.
Till the savings wrangler rode in, cool as can be. Tap Good RX, saving massively.
No plan? Don't matter none. Up to 80% off. Deals are done.
Discounts hitting harder than Ma's chili. Dang.
That one little lap does all the rest.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Check Good RX. Good RX is not insurance.
Hi, I'm Darren Costello, owner of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, Fine Wine and Cheese.
I'm Dr. Ben McMillan with the Neal Clinic.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
I absolutely recommend radio to business owners. It's real, it's local, and it reaches people where they live and work. Radio helps us build trust and name recognition with patients before they ever walk through our doors.
We're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
I enjoy working with such a great team with the radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and results driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today, 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, I have Escambia County Sheriff, Chief Deputy, and longtime friend of mine. He was in Leadership Pensacola with me. Tommy Leiter. Tommy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, as always, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Of course. Really good to have you. We've had a lot of things happen over the last week since Chip and I talked last week. Let's start with this. You had an incident. We talked briefly about it last week, but the crabs burglary. Burglary is when there's no force involved. Robbery is when you're confronting a person. But the crabs burglary led to five people being arrested in several different states, and Flock cameras were a big part of this arrest, right?
Absolutely, man. It was a great case, and it's, you know, showcases our major crimes division. They do great work. The investigators that pick those cases up and run with it. But yeah, it was Flock. You know, they show up in the middle of the night, and they come in from Houston. They rent cars in Houston, drive all the way over to Escambia County, to Pensacola Beach, and they burglarize crabs in the middle of the night, make their way to the safe, and manage to cut their way into the safe and steal a bunch of money. But you know, this is 2026. You're not going to get on or off Pensacola Beach without being on a camera. I mean, the Flock camera, all the toll by plates, that's what they are. They're license plate readers. They're just going to read your tag, and that's how we're doing that all over the interstates. They're all license plate readers. And you know, you park your car downtown, and that's how they enforce that when they drive by. You see the trucks drive by with the license plate readers on it, and that's what they're doing. They'll know if you paid it or you're parking or not. So it's bigger than law enforcement. They're everywhere. And this case, we would not have been able to solve this case, certainly not as quickly as we did, quick enough that we were able to. They still had burglary tools with them. They still had cash with them. All of the evidence that they had was, they still had all that stuff in their possession. So I think without those license plate readers, we would not have been able to solve it as quickly as we did. But it's really cool to see. You can pick them up going onto the beach, off of the beach, and then, you know, all the way across state lines into two different states. And we were able to contact those agencies, and they picked up both of them on traffic stops. Well, actually, one was a traffic stop. One, they were able to track all the way back to a hotel room. So that was really good police work.
Was there any, I know the initial question had been, why crabs? Was there anybody on the inside who was helping them? Why would they come from Houston to, you know, some random beachfront restaurant in Pensacola? Do we know anything about any of that?
Still under investigation.
Okay.
That's a question we had that night. You know, and you can see it. Why did they pick crabs? Why did they pick the way that they went in? It didn't look to me like they searched real hard for the location. You know, they went right to the safe. Mm-hmm. So those are certainly something that we're looking into. And it is still under investigation. So we have some evidence that we can go through, and we're going to try to figure that out.
Very good. You also had a, I think you had another case that was a big flock license plate reader related case this week, right? I just can't remember, right off the top of my head, I can't remember which one it was.
We did. We had two females from Houston. They drove over from Houston, and it was a retail theft. So they were hitting all of the stores stealing. It looks like most of it was makeup and stuff like that, not just makeup, but there's a photograph on our Facebook of the bag that they had, which is full of stolen property, and the picture doesn't do it justice. It was huge, and they hit all, you know, a number of different stores, and we were able to, you know, get a description of the vehicle, and were able to, you know, figure it out on Flock, and we stopped them on a traffic stop. I mean, again, they were just probably heading back to Houston, I would imagine, and same thing, we were able to pick them up on a Flock, stop them, still had all the stolen property on it, and link them directly to the other thefts.
And that was the one. There was like five different stores, right? Is that right? I'm memory here.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How did we become like the interstate crime sister city for Houston? When did this happen?
It's not just us.
Okay.
They have a whole task force over in Houston, and I think, you know, the last I've heard is there's like 1,000 people that they've identified or something, and that's what they're doing out of Houston. We had a number, I want to say it was last year, where they were stealing ATMs, and they were out of Houston, but they left here, and I think we got them up in Georgia. So we're just one of the stops on their route to wherever, all the way over to Jacksonville, all the way up through Atlanta. It's all over the southern United States. I'm not sure how far north they go, but we catch them a lot in Escambia County, and maybe that's why it makes the news, is because we're being able to pick them up.
We're talking to Tommy Leiter. He's the chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Tommy, hang for just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Navarre Parkway at Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the roadway is clear. Also have a traffic light out, Softly Field Road at Mobile Highway in Pensacola. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Tommy Leiter with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. You guys are trying to identify some suspects who robbed. And again, robbed is with force. Burglary is not with force, like when people are not present. The Tradewind Food Mart on Patricia Drive at gunpoint that last weekend?
Correct. They had two actual robberies at gunpoint. They walk in and stick a gun in the clerk's face. We actually made an arrest on one of them. And it's still under investigation. We're waiting to identify the other suspects involved in it. But we do have one in custody and is in jail right now.
Okay. And then we also had, a kilogram of methamphetamines in arrest, Kelvin Crenshaw?
Yeah, that is, one of our search warrants that we hit. That's a lot. And it wasn't just the meth that they got. Let me pull it up here real quick. I'm sorry. I had it on my phone, the exact numbers. But it was meth. It was fentanyl. It was just about anything that you can think of in, as far as narcotics go. It was a big lick for the narcotics unit. SWAT team hit the house because there's an indication that, it's violence surrounding it. So they'll do a risk assessment on all of the search warrants. Some of them will rise to the level of a SWAT team. Some of them don't. This one rose to the level of SWAT team. So our SWAT guys were able to hit it. Here it is. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. And money too, right? And were there guns found?
There was meth, cocaine, oxy. There was fentanyl. There was tramadol. There was marijuana. And there was currency in it. I don't think that we got a gun out of this one.
Okay.
But most of the cases that we have, the narcotics cases, are we do recover firearms. And I think we mentioned our narcotics unit was recognized as the narcotics unit of the year for Region 1, which is 17 different counties. And when I look at the numbers, it's not just, again, it's 13,000 grams of fentanyl, 26,000 grams of meth and cocaine and crack and marijuana and heroin and mushrooms. There's 69 search warrants, but of those, there's 80 firearms and 25 machine gun conversion devices. And that's Sheriff
That's
Simmons,
like the Glock switches. That's to convert a semi-automatic to an automatic. Okay.
Yeah. But we talk about it all the time, that most of our violence is tied directly to the drug trade. If you're not involved, actively involved in buying or selling narcotics, you're unlikely to be a victim of a violent crime.
Wow. No,
Sheriff Simmons recognized that early on, and he tripled the size of our narcotics unit. It was like the largest narcotics unit we've had at the agency that we could see on record. And it was because we wanted to make a dent into the violent crime. And if we're going to do that, we're going to hit the narcotics, street-level narcotics, and the long-term investigations. And it's working. It takes time. You know, a lot of these investigations, and these, when I read a lot of the numbers and the different narcotics, those are the cases that we were able to get search warrants on. There's so many more that we're working on. We're directly tied, and we're dialed in with the DEA task force. So a lot of stuff we can't talk about. Some of these long-term investigations could take years, and they're doing just phenomenal work. And it's most of that, I'd say 90% of it, we can't talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the stuff, the successes, and even a lot of times we'll hit a search warrant, we'll get stuff, but we can't even put that out because it may be a continuing investigation. So
this one leads to that one,
know
or whatever.
That they are, yeah.
Well, that's great work, being Narcotics Unit of the Year for the region. I'll look forward to it on episode on season 26 of The Wire, Escambia County.
Great show, by the way.
Yeah, it is a great show. If only we could do it. You guys also had, it's kind of made a lot of news, the R Spot arrest. What happened here? You guys tried to go in, and he prevented you from seeing if there was violations of liquor laws and underage drinking?
Well, correct. We've been there. That wasn't the first time.
Okay.
We've been there before. I don't want to say he was cited for it. He certainly warned about it. We went there. The music for noise complaints and music was just outrageous, obnoxiously loud. And when the deputies went up there, he actually locked the door and wouldn't let them in. So there's a little bit of a standoff. We were able to get in. He resisted, and he ended up in handcuffs and going to jail. So it's been an ongoing problem with that particular club. So we've had conversations with the actual owner of the building who leases it to this gentleman to see if they can make changes. And it looks like we're trending in that direction.
And it's a bottle club, right? So do they have to have a special license to operate that way?
Oh yeah. 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 Okay. He's in violation of all kinds of stuff. You can't sell alcohol. You can't let people bring alcohol. You can't, everything that he's trying to do, you can't do legally. And he was warned about it. It completely ignored it, was cited before, and here we are. He ended up in handcuffs going to jail. I don't know what he thought was going to happen, you know, especially once we warned him before and we showed up. This was not the first time, but he found out.
Well, he thought, like, if he just says, you know, I dare you, and then you'd be like, oh, okay, well, we'll back down.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, turn my computer on for just a second, PJ. I do want to get an opportunity for Sheriff Simmons to weigh in on this.
Don't fight us, bro.
Don't fight us.
Exactly. He messed around and found out.
And so that's it. That's exactly right. I think you had a convenience store arrest related, but as a juvenile. It just happened, what, maybe overnight?
Yeah, so that was the robberies we talked about, the convenience stores.
Okay, the series of them, okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's in jail. Yep, we made an arrest on a juvenile. A little reluctant to talk a lot about it. It's not quite out yet, but we did make an arrest. One of them, 14-year-old kid, pulling an armed robbery. Yeah, it's a shame.
A 14-year-old is involved in an armed robbery?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And he's in custody, so... And we're still looking for the other, colleagues, partners in crime, his other, you know, miscreants, whatever you want to call them. But we're still actively investigating that case.
Wow, 14, an eighth grader. That's all right.
Yeah,
One thing I just think there was one other thing, which is you had an arrest, the fourth arrest now for that homicide charge from the April 12th shooting at Oakwood Terrace. A good reminder that you never stop pursuing homicides, right? I mean, even years later, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we have. I think we're going to start focusing or highlighting some of our cold cases that are back, you know, 20, 30 years old. They never go away. We have investigators, and that's all they do. They're full-time job is just cold case homicides. Keep in mind, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, even into the 90s when I first started policing, a lot of the technology we have, the DNA technology, none of that existed. So when we go back through the case, there might be a piece of evidence that at the time we collected, but there was nothing we could do with it. Now we can submit them. We went through all of the cases already. When Sheriff Simmons first got elected, that was one of his first orders to the cold case unit, was to go through all of the cases, identify evidence or any piece of whatever that's in there and resubmit it if we need to. And we did all of that stuff, and some of that stuff's paying dividends now. But even today with the, you know, the ancestry DNA, where I don't have to match it necessarily to the suspect, I can submit it and match it to a fourth cousin twice removed, and you start working that path and then lead back to there. None of that was available. So that's a lot of the cold case, re-interviewing suspects, re-interviewing witnesses, a fresh set of eyes on it. And it's, we're phenomenal work. And that's the, it takes a special skill set to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's oftentimes you'll work a case for a decade or more, what has already been worked for decades with no resolution to it.
Yeah. No satisfaction, right? No payoff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
And you know, to your evidence point, I mean, I was just over at the medical examiner's office, her new building, and, you know, seeing what they do to preserve evidence. But also, you know, some evidence, you know, there's information there, but you don't have the tools to gather what you need for conclusions out of it. And I got to imagine that with the advance of technology, there's going to be some evidence that you don't even know there is information there, because the kinds of things we might be able to look at, you know, people in the 1800s didn't know to collect fingerprints, right? Because they didn't know that that would even matter. So I think that that's, you know, that's, technology is changing in all those ways to help you guys with law enforcement. Tommy Leiter, he is, he's the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy, longtime friend of mine, former Chief of Police in Pensacola. Tommy, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for pinch hitting for Sheriff Simmons to say. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Absolutely. 754 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you need to get a new roof, or you need to repair a roof, or you're not sure what you need and you just kind of have questions, Quality Roofing Solutions, they're there for you. For 20 years, they've been putting in roofs in Pensacola since 2006. 10,000 roofs later, a 4.9 rating on Google. Crazy, crazy good reviews. And they warranty their roofs for lifetime for workmanship, which is unheard of in the industry. But they do. And their whole idea is, we're going to do good work at a good price, and we're going to talk to you like a person, and we're going to treat you the way you want to be treated. And that's how they get that same kind of, you know, repeat customer, not repeat customer, but, you know, word of mouth customers. I had a good friend who used them, and she's like, they didn't come in at the cheapest, but they came in reasonable. I chose them, and they did the great work. They certainly weren't the most expensive. They did great work, and three or four other people on my street have had roofs as a result of that. That's how they work, because of how they treat you. 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, Navarre Parkway and Navarre Beach Causeway. They're saying the roadway is clear. Also, I have a traffic light out, Softly Field Road in and Mobile Highway in Pensacola. And finally, a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock, US 90 at Parkmore Plaza in Milton. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much, PJ.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola
and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Ha, 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 ha.
the other day when I was talking about not having enough village support, you know, it takes a village to raise a person and some of that stuff. And I made the comment about how, you know, the problem here is bad villagers. And then I played that sound clip and it made me laugh. So I went home and I made my my 17-year-old listen to that monologue for 3 minutes and then played the joke. And he just looked at me when he's done. He's like, I'm so embarrassed to have you as my dad. And I thought, well, that's a win in my book. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, police say that Sunday's shooting that killed three people and injured four near Seattle's Space Needle could have been a gang-related shooting. In a briefing on Monday, police confirmed that one of the deceased 19-year-old killed at the scene was one of the alleged shooters as well, and police are still searching for a third suspect there. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is being honored today with services in the nation's capital. His casket will lie in the Capitol Rotunda before a funeral service at the Washington National Cathedral. And this one may not be too surprising for you. Heavy television viewing has been linked to brain changes that are being associated with Alzheimer's disease, particularly in men, they're saying. The study was published in Alzheimer's Dementia, the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association.
TV's connected to Alzheimer's. Right. Like that's... Wait, what were we talking about? As much TV as I have watched in my life.
You're listening to